Good morning and welcome to everyone.
Good morning, everybody.
Will you please pray after me? O Heavenly Father. Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Blessed Master.
Blessed Master.
Saints and sages of all religions.
Saints and sages of all religions.
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Peace.
Peace.
Bliss.
Bliss.
Amen.
Amen.
So we sit with quiet mind and body. Let the consciousness expand. Allow your mind to expand beyond this body until it encompasses this room. And within the room, seeing radiant, sparkling light, vital life, peace, and joy. See everyone within this room is filled with that, both a center of it and circumference by it, and yet ever expanding. Allow your consciousness continue to grow, expanding over this city, seeing all of its inhabitants, every part of life, animate and inanimate, radiant with those candles of wisdom, of light, and of peace. Go on expanding for this country, this continent. Expanding until you see this world is but a bubble of sparkling, radiant lights. Until your consciousness sees the entire universe, the entire firmament, as radiant with that light, and your consciousness expanded and filled with that. And seeing this universe as but a tiny bubble with other tiny bubble universes, all as light sources. And the entire astral cosmos beyond it, the radiant, lovely light of that. Until you see it all but as a manifestation of idea light, filled with peace, harmony, love, wisdom. Now return your consciousness back to your body and focus on how small your body is, how cramped that great consciousness is within it. And then return your consciousness back to that omnipresent consciousness. Feel your oneness with it, your oneness with all life, all creation and beyond. What is once imagined becomes reality. This is your omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent power of consciousness, of which you are imbued with. This is your Christ consciousness. I would like to read from the Bible this evening. this morning from St. Matthew, beginning with chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may also come and worship." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over the young child. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came unto the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee unto Egypt, and be thou there until I seek thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed unto Egypt. I'd like to read from a book entitled Journey to Self-Realization, which is a compilation of Yogananda's talks, entitled Invite the Christ Consciousness Within You. Heavenly Father, bless us this morning with the consciousness of Jesus, that we might too experience thy universal presence as the Christ consciousness, inborn in every pore and atom of space. O Father, we thank thee for sending unto us thy great Son in the form of Jesus, a resplendent light, a beacon to guide this world on the path of spirituality. We bow to Christ Jesus. May we enshrine him forevermore on the altar of our hearts. May his Spirit be manifest within us. We invoke the Spirit of Jesus, the omnipresent Christ consciousness, to descend upon our consciousness and bestow the realization of infinity. May that Christ consciousness, cradled in space, in blossoms, in all beings, and in our hearts everywhere, be manifest to us evermore. Inflame your heart with the fire of devotion, that the light of Christ may blaze within you. Purity, peace, happiness beyond dreams are sparkling and dancing within your soul. Let that peace be within join the transcendent, infinite peace without. You are immersed in that eternal light. Your whole being is filled with that omnipresent, blessed effulgence of Christ. Beyond body and breath, you are that ever-living light of Christ, peace, and joy. This is a blessed morning in that it so closely precedes the spiritual and festive celebrations of Jesus' birth. In honoring his nativity, do we think of Christ as limited to a tiny body of a helpless baby? The Christ Spirit was born on earth in the physical vehicle of an infant Jesus. Within his consciousness was omnipresent God. Behind the nascent brain of the little boy with the wisdom of spirit, how else could he, as a young child, startle wise and learned men with his precocious words? Even though the Spirit of God becomes incarnate in the birth of great souls, still those divine ones play the drama of infancy, youth, and all phases of life and death. But it is to be remembered that behind their mortal consciousness is the immutable Christ consciousness, the ever-pure reflection of spirit, which sages in India called Kustasha Chaitanya, or Krishna consciousness. This concept of Jesus very few people have. If you know Christ in reality, you will know to bring his universal spirit into your own consciousness. What is the significance of celebrating the sacred birth of Christ on a certain day? It is not just to provide an opportunity for festivity and gift-giving. It is especially and distinctly to revive our thoughts, the inspiration of his perfect qualities. If you hold a portrait before you, the image reminds you of the salient characteristics of that person. So is a day of remembrance when observed properly. It is sad when people forget the purpose of Christmas. Millions are thinking only of the material side of this holy season. We shall not be among them. Tomorrow we are going to have our meditation day. From 10 to 6 o'clock, we will meditate on Christ. To feel his presence and his consciousness is our purpose. Christ has remained unknown to men. They have kept the gates of their devotion closed, locked with material desires, so that Christ cannot enter. When those portals are opened with love for Christ, he will come. I want everyone to take the spiritual celebration of Christmas seriously. Our aim is nothing less than to bring Christ into our consciousness. The love of God uplifts and enlarges us. I can never think of myself anymore as exclusive to this body. I feel that I am present in all bodies. I have no awareness of race or other distinctions at all. In my perceptions, just as I feel my own consciousness in every part of my physical form, I feel you all to be a part of me. Everything that is living I feel within this body. I know the sensations of all. It is not imagination, it is self-realization. This consciousness is far beyond telepathy. It is awareness of the perceptions of every being. That is the meaning of Christ consciousness. When that Christ comes within you, you lose your ego. The I is demolished. In humbleness, you find a valley of dreams redolent with blossoms of self-realization, nurtured by waters of the infinite Christ that gather and inundate all arid boundaries within you. You feel all things pervaded by one life. Infinite oneness. That is what God is. That is what Christ is. If you would be like Christ, you must follow his ways. God could be cruel and destroy evildoers. In an instant, he could destroy the whole world. But instead, he uses his love to bring errant creation back to him. Thus did Jesus teach, love your enemies, for God maketh his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth his rain on the just and on the unjust. Bhagavan Krishna similarly said, he is a supreme yogi who regards with equal mindedness friends, enemies, the virtuous, and the ungodly. Why should you hate anyone? To do so is against your own interest. Even though someone may hate you, if you give love in return, you will feel wonderful. I am a friend to all. If I try to dislike anyone, it burns me within. Do not abhor your enemies. To love them is the best way to conquer them. If you find the infection of hate spreading around you, why increase that epidemic by contracting the disease? Make yourself immune with the antidote of love. Remember, your enemies too are children of God and are loved by him as dearly as you are. The Lord is like a mother. No matter how a child behaves, the mother loves it just the same. Those who do evil have gone astray, and God wants intensely to bring them back to his fold. May Christ have a second coming within your own consciousness. That is my humble prayer for you today. And I am giving this special blessing to you all, that if you will meditate deeply during the Christmas period, you will feel the presence of Christ. The perception of Christ in your hearts is the greatest gift I could give to you. But you must have open hands to receive it. You must meditate. At this time, the angels in the ether celebrate Christmas, and infinite light shone on the earth on that first Christmas day, and each year at this holy time, the ether is filled with that light. To honor Christ in meditation is real celebration. May we start a new era on earth by celebrating spiritual Christmas everywhere. Tell your friends wherever you go, as long as you live, to pass a day in meditation during the Christmas season. Then, within their hearts, December 25th will be a real birth of Christ. Christ is the joy of meditation. It is his perception you will feel in the deepest hours of silence. And this is my wish for you, that you may bring that Christ into your heart every day, every hour. We have all gathered here to celebrate this wonderful time of year. At a time when the earth in the northern hemisphere receives its darkest days, we bring to it a light, but it is not an outer light. It is an inner light that pervades our souls and our minds and our hearts if we truly be in tune with Christ. In order to have this experience, we must renounce all things of the world. Now, this does not mean we need to go out and live in a cave someplace. It is an inner renunciation. It is a letting go, recognizing that God is the author and creator of all things, of all materiality, of all creation. Therefore, in order to let go of the things of the world and to renounce them, and to put our allegiance strictly upon the universal Christ, is not to lose anything. It is only to give up ignorance, our ignorance of our oneness with that infinite consciousness. As long as we are encapsulated in this little bubble of the human consciousness, we cannot know the universal consciousness. In order to let go of that bubble, we must let go of our desire nature around it. We ourselves encapsulate ourselves within that bubble of human consciousness. It is our desire nature that keeps us so. It is those unfulfilled things that we look for in the world that we believe will bring us happiness. But what happiness do we have in it? Even as children beg and beg for certain Christmas item, and once Christmas has come and passed, then the item sits out in the backyard rusting in the rain, only to desire something new, only to desire something greater. And so it goes on and on from adulthood, from childhood into adulthood. We too are like those children. We think to ourselves consciously or unconsciously, if I only had this person, if I only had this thing, if I only had this particular situation or this amount of money, then I would be happy. If I were free of worry about how to pay my rent, then I would be able to relax. Then I would have peace. But just open your eyes and look around you. Look at those people who don't have to worry about the rent. They just take on a worry of a greater nature. If they go beyond basic income to greater income, then they think about losing what they have, or they're constantly thinking about expanding what they have. Now, this restlessness of the mind is not ever going to be fulfilled by getting our lives in just a certain order. While it is true to have greater peace in this world, we should guide our lives with wisdom, and through that have a certain order in our life. And this will help us. But this is not the end all. This is not where real peace comes from. Real peace comes from tapping into that consciousness, that living God consciousness, that Christ consciousness that resides right within us. Now, there is a story that started 2,000 years ago, but there is also a story that started at the turn of the century, in the year of 1904. When a young baby was also born on Christmas Day. And we came to know her lovingly as Mother Hamilton, our teacher, our guru, the one who went from human consciousness into her own Christ consciousness and live to tell the tale. At that time, their yoga and things of the East were very little known in the West. Even so, it was arranged for Mother to meet Yogananda here in Seattle. She did not have to travel to the Far East, but rather it is said that when the student is ready, the teacher appears nearby. And so it was the case with Mother. And as she listened to Yogananda's words and felt uplifted in them, there was an awakening of the possibilities that resided within her soul, that resides within all of our souls, if we would but know it. You see, the Christ is born in flesh, as it says in the beginning of John. But this isn't the flesh of just one individual. This is the flesh of every person, every created thing that exists within this vast universe. St. Paul said that Christ is the firstborn of every creature, meaning it is the original causative factor that has gone into creating our consciousness first, the idea of who we are. Out of that idea, the spirit is changed in vibration. It is quickened, and it comes to an energy body that is identical to this physical body, only it doesn't have a physical representation at that point. It is purely an energy body, that is made up of the astral world, that has vibration to it, that has light to it, that has feeling to it, and the intelligence of the original idea, or the causal body. As it is changed even further, and the vibration is changed, it comes into the denser form of the physical body. And so this physical body is a manifestation of an idea that was projected from the creative consciousness, quickened into the astral vibratory consciousness, and then finally manifested as this physical consciousness. So we exist on three different levels. Now, Mother used to tell the story of when God created this world. And in her characteristic humor, she said God was just being himself one day when he wiggled his big toe and he discovered himself. And so he decided to explore himself. And in doing so, he breathed out the word, "Ah," and all of creation came out into being. And he saw that it was good. So he decided to preserve it. And so he breathed out the vibration, "Ooh," and through that, all of creation was preserved. And finally, when he decided to withdraw it back into himself, he whispered out the vibration, "Mmm," and so all of vibration came back, all of creation came back into his own being again. And so in this going out, this preserving, and this coming back, it spells out the word Om, or the A-U-M. Or, as in the Western world, we call it Amen. It is the word that created everything, and without it, nothing was created. Now, the dualistic mind is represented by Adam and Eve. And Adam is reason, and Eve is feeling. And this is a representation of when the consciousness comes into duality, eating of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. In ancient days, they used to take a tree and that represented that tree and put fruit on it. And this was the representation of Adam and Eve and the fruit of life that came about as a result of this creative act. And so this was the celebration, and this was the first Christmas tree, so to speak, before Christmas was celebrated in the way that it currently is. In the 1400s, when St. Francis was alive, St. Francis of Assisi, that beautiful, wonderful saint, he celebrated the first representation of the manger scene. And he set up a cradle and a manger with straw and animals, and there he worshipped this empty cradle. And it is said that his worship and those around him became so intense that this terrific Christ light manifested and displayed itself outside of this cradle. In fact, the light became so great one time that where St. Francis was, all the townspeople came out thinking that the place had caught on fire and they had come to put out the fire. But it was no ordinary light of fire. It was the spiritual light that was manifested by the intensity of their devotion, by their love for this universal Christ consciousness. So from the story of Adam and Eve and this descent of spirit down into flesh starts our story. It begins our story of our own souls, as our own souls started out as part of that oneness with spirit, or God the Father. And then God breathed out and breathed out all of creation and became God the Mother. And then duality was created as mother and father. Before that, there is only union, only unity. Yoga means union. And so yoga is the path back towards unity, back towards our union of our consciousness with that universal consciousness. So through this creative act came out all of creation and duality. And slowly our consciousness descended into the light body, where there is a vast array of light universes and light planets and so on. And they are peopled with light beings. But creativity wanted to go even further out into material creation, where duality would be complete, where there would be a complete forgetfulness of our union with that creative consciousness. And so it is here that we experience that complete absence of light, and we can move into darkness. And through that experience, we gradually awaken to the need for that light. When we're done experiencing material desire, material consciousness, then our heart and our soul begins to cry out for that creative union of consciousness from whence we first came. But this doesn't come by just a wish or overnight. We have to come to that place where our desire for union with God takes precedence over all other desires. And so it is not until we come to that place, because God fulfills every one of our desires. And if we are still busy experiencing things of the world, things that draw our attention outside of ourselves, and we still want to explore more of that, then that is what we were given. As we think, so shall we become. As you think, so you create. And since this mind is constantly active, it cannot help but to create. Every moment you are creating. You are creating and reinforcing thought patterns, habit patterns, those things that either take your consciousness upward or downward. And we are in complete control at every moment, even though we may not think so. The reason for this is because we are born with both a conscious and a subconscious mind. The conscious mind programs the subconscious mind. It determines what goes into the subconscious mind. And then the subconscious mind is geared to create and reproduce whatever it is that we feed into it. So whatever desire nature is, whatever thought pattern, whatever habit pattern we've created, and it comes back to us through the subconscious mind, we are either the beneficiaries or we pay the price for what it is that we have done. So when we come to this place, when we want to transcend this dual consciousness and reestablish our union with the infinite consciousness, then we come to that place where the Christ might be born within us. In modern days, we've had these, first of all, held in tents, and then later in large stadiums, where people are called down to accept Christ into their consciousness. And they come down in front of a stadium and into the stadium and come down before the podium. And there they make an inner vow, an inner renunciation. Now, if the heart is true, and if the desire is pure, then that can be a discerning moment where that Christ consciousness can become manifest. But that is not the end of the story. That is just the beginning. For all of us, inwardly, whether we are in a large stadium or the privacy of our home, whether we are out in the woods someplace, or whether we are in the middle of the city, any moment that we decide that what we want more than anything else is that universal Christ consciousness, by whatever name it goes by, Krishna consciousness, the Messiah, Buddha consciousness, it all represents the same one truth. Then we, once we come to that place, then we come to that inner altar where we surrender our inner consciousness and we come to that place of humility. That is the place of Bethlehem. That is the place of this humble birth where the animal nature has come to a peaceful repose in front of the Christ child. It's your animal nature. It is those desires and habit patterns that drive this body. And they come into a peaceful place. And there, the Christ nature is born within you. And this is a wonderful, beautiful event. It is the deciding event within a human consciousness where that human consciousness begins its upward ascent from the human to the divine. And we are all part of that story. This is a universal story, not for just people who call themselves Christians, not for just people who believe themselves chosen, not for just some people and not others. The deciding factor is that inner renunciation, is that inner letting go. And so the wise men come and they present their gifts of gold, frankincense, myrrh. Now, gold represents your desire for this nature. It is the gold of this world. It is our material attachment. And that is surrendered at the feet of the Christ. Frankincense is our worship for this inner Christ. And it is as we let that and surrender that also to the inner Christ. It is the sweetness of our lives. And myrrh, which is our bitterness, which is our self-loathing perhaps, our depression, whatever negative attributes that we have, we surrender that also. Now we might think to ourselves, how in the world would it be that we would stay attached to our negative attributes? But this is indeed the case for all humanity. We all suffer times of loss and letting go, and times when we feel sadness and other types of negative emotions, anger and that kind of thing. But if it lasts for any more than a short amount of time, we need to analyze ourselves very strictly and decide and determine where our attachment is. It may be an attachment to a person or a place or a thing. Whatever the case is, it is letting go of that attachment. Now, in the beginning, that can be difficult because we don't know what we're replacing it with. It may feel like we're replacing it with nothing but emptiness. But it cannot be so. You cannot just let go of one thing without taking up something else. If you try to let go of a habit without replacing it with something positive, nature abhors a vacuum and will fill it. And the thing that it is most easily filled with is the old habit again. So it is not just a series of negations. But it is a series of letting goes and taking ups. It is the taking up of that inner joy, that inner peace, that inner power that resides within you. Until you are so filled with that, that that is the manifestation of your being. You become that. Now this is a rare thing upon this world where a consciousness becomes completely imbued with that consciousness and overcomes the human consciousness. Now, this is not to say that you no longer have a human consciousness, but what you are most aware of, what is in complete charge of your life, is the divine consciousness. And when you come to that place, then this universal Christ consciousness finds completion. It is the total ascension. And you go up into the right hand of your Father. That is to the power, to the beauty, to the love, to the everything of which you are. But this requires diligent effort. It doesn't come to the weak. It doesn't come to the frail. It doesn't come to those who are half-hearted. It comes to those who are sincere in their efforts, who decide deep within their souls that they want this more than anything else in the world. So this time of thinking about the birth of the Christ is the birth of the Christ within our own being. And we determine that life within a lifetime, year by year, hour by hour, moment by moment, we decide where we put our mind, where we put our attention, where we put our love. There's a very interesting seminar that I went around time management and matching values with where we spend our time. And the speaker was saying, if I wanted to find out whether your values matched how you spend your life, I'd want to come to your home and see two things. I'd want to see your calendar, your day planner, and see how you schedule your days and your life, and I'd want to see your checkbook. And I'd want to see how those two matched. It's a very interesting idea, very provocative. Of course, there was a collective groan in the group as he said this, because we had just gone through an exercise of determining our values. And people realized that how they spent their time and how they spent their resources oftentimes did not reflect what they had identified as their truest core values. When we can find time for everything in this world, but taking time to be with God in the silence of our own being, then we have to question ourselves, have we got our priorities straight? And through that, we should come to the realization that as we come into this year, this time of the birth of the Christ, that we should put our priorities straight. We should put our house in order. We should strengthen ourselves in every way we know how. Because when these tests come, even as the power of Herod or the power of passions come up, and the land of darkness must escape into the land of darkness or Egypt, in order to avoid that, we need to be strong within ourselves. And the greatest strength comes from prayer and from communion with the infinite spirit within us. So let us take time to experience the joy, the inner joy of the Christ within. This is not a path for sad faces or bemoaning our fates or who we are or what we've created. This is a path of joy and happiness. When we had our retreat this summer up at Hornby Island, one of the neighbors asked, "What kind of gathering is this?" And he was told that it was a spiritual retreat. He says, "I've never heard so much laughter in my entire life." And it shocked him that a spiritual retreat should have so much fun and so much laughter. But this is the way that it should be. But it should also be balanced with times of quietness and inward reflection and divine bliss. And then don't let laughter, you know, sometimes humor can be a release for stress and tension and all the rest of it, which is a good thing. But more and more, attune yourself to that inner joy. Let your laughter ring with that inner joy, that inner vibration of Christ. Let yourself be imbued with that. To the point where wherever somebody sees you, whatever you're doing, whatever you're thinking, if they could see into the depths of your souls, what they would see is a bright, shining light. Until you become inwardly, even as the outward Christmas tree is, decorated with all the lights. Well, you have lights right within your own being, right within your own spine column and your brain, that as you close your eyes in meditation, you see this upliftment. It's been an interesting thing in the last year or so when I closed my eyes to go to sleep. And at first, I used to open my eyes again and go to turn off the light because I thought I'd left the light on. There is just this radiant light shining within my own consciousness. And this has been true for many years. And so this inner Christmas tree, this inner light that we all have, is blessed with many presents underneath. And they are not presents necessarily of the world, although it does not cut us off from material things either. But rather it is presence of inner peace, inner joy, inner love, inner enlightenment, and all the things that that brings. So let us look within ourselves and find the Christmas tree shining radiantly within us and open those gifts and enjoy them and share them with everyone in our life. And if we do this and make the effort, we will not be letting go of anything but a bundle of sorrows, and we will be discovering the great inner joy within our own beings. So let that time of Christmas or the celebration of the birth of Christ be one of joy and beauty and wonder and love. And may you know in greater and greater measure this universal Christ consciousness, both and first within you, and then seeing it radiating everywhere about you. May your consciousness expand and encompass that radiant light. May your interest expand and take on the universal interest so that you become an instrument of this universal Christ consciousness, the universal Chaitanya consciousness right within you. And may you know such great presence within you, that you will feel as though you are one. You will know that you are one with that infinite creative consciousness. And then you will not put your light underneath a bushel, but you will let it shine out. For how can a light do anything else? And this does not necessarily mean through words or actions. But merely in your being, you radiate that light. You see it in people. I see it in many who are here. I see that light beginning to shine. And they radiate it out. Their skin glistens. Their smile takes on a new vibration. Their whole being, you feel it within them. And you know that they are making progress in spiritual consciousness. Let us be that light. And so that light, that star that we see at our third eye point, the Ajna Center, the Christ Center, let it radiate in to your consciousness. And first you see the light, then you begin to reflect the light, and lastly you actively manifest and become that light. And so these are the three stages that we go through. So in the beginning, look for that light, see it radiating there at your third eye point, and then become so filled with it that you become one with it. And finally, you become that, and you radiate it out through your whole being. This is a beautiful time of year. It also matches our winter solstice time. Of course, they don't think that Christ was probably born at this time of year, probably in March, and probably not, at that year, but 4 years before. So it doesn't matter, the actual physical birth of an avatar, although that's a great event. You know, the song Silent Night, Lord at his birth, this is the sign of an avatar. It is somebody who has attained that final realization and then comes back to Earth to help uplift its consciousness. This is well known in the East and well recorded. In the West, we believe we have but one example of that, but actually there are many examples of that. And we are greatly blessed for each and every one of them. So let us rejoice at this time. Let us experience the inner peace and spread it to everyone we know. If we give gifts at this time of year, give it with a release of love. Give it, imbue it with love. You know, whenever you hand somebody something, imbue that, whatever you're giving them, with love. And notice the change in yourself, and notice the change in the person who's receiving. Don't do it unconsciously. Give it with gratitude and love and the light within your being. And then watch the change in others. And you will be wonder-filled. Really. Would you please join me in a round of silent night? You know, there's a wonderful story about this. You may know it was about a German pastor who the organ broke just before Christmas, and they had no music other than organ music. And so this was just before the service that he was going to give. And he sat down with a guitar, and this song came to him, just complete. And I think it's just wonderful. Silent night, oh.